Michael Lombardi, always seen on NFL Network and Showtime's Inside the NFL. The Mully and Hanley NFL Insider. Twitter.com/Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And let's get out to the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza. Try one on the grill at your next tailgate. Michael Lombardi of the NFL Network and Showtime's Inside the NFL joins us. Michael, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys?
Well, we are. We're still all abuzz about the Cubs and all their front office moves. And I know that that you had a chance to watch Theo's news conference when he came in, and your old buddy Bill Walsh was mentioned prominently. He says, and I got to tell you, I'm all for it. Term limits on general managers, term limits on coaches, 10 years and up. Is that the idea?
Well, you know, I think ultimately, you know, I thought his speech was tremendous. I thought his vision for what he wants for the Cubs was great. I think if most owners in the NFL would look at that and listen to what his words were, sustained excellence, building an organization that wants to sustain instead of going out and trying to hire a name or win a press conference, I thought he was great. And, you know, the 10 years, I think ultimately it comes down to the person. I mean, obviously Belichick still has a desire to keep coaching, keep working. I think there is a time where money spoils players and money spoils coaches, money spoils executive. And if you lose your appetite for the job, then you should just get out.
We talk about sustained success, and we wonder if Lovie's defense is, you know, passe. We wonder if Mike Martz's offense is passe. And now I've been reading the last couple of days where people are wondering if people are figuring out the Patriot way and how to put the clamps as much as you can on Tom Brady.
Well, I think the Patriot way is being multidimensional and adjusting. I think the one thing you could add to that, I'm not sure the West Coast offense has officially been declared dead. I mean, when's the last time a team's won a Super Bowl run in the West Coast? People say, well, Green Bay runs elements of it. Yeah, they do run elements of it, but, you know, I don't think they're truly a West Coast. They're trying to throw the ball vertically up the field. You know, the last time might have been 2002 when John Gruden's Tampa Bay Bucks won the Super Bowl, but they won with defense, not with offense. So, you know, I think there's an evolution that must happen in the NFL, and I think good coaches understand it. You can't stay stagnant. After 3 years, stuff becomes stale, and you have to adapt and change. That's part of the Patriot way. And I think, you know, last week was a game where Pittsburgh typically doesn't play a lot of man-to-man, came out, played man-to-man. New England adjusted to it, but they got behind in the game. And I think there's been too much focus on the man-to-man. That's going to be New England's nemesis because Branch is an explosive receiver. Welker's a slot receiver. They're going to have to defeat that, but I don't think it's going to become their nemesis. They have too much they have too much volume in their offense to not find the right combinations.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're talking to Michael Lombardi. He of the NFL Network, of course, Showtime's Inside the NFL. And, Michael, I guess as we sit here and talk about the bye week, the numbers shifted from 1 week to the next. We know the Bears are coming off the bye. Philadelphia seemed to solve a lot of their issues, had a very dominant performance against Dallas. What kind of chance do you give the Bears heading into Philadelphia? It's another Monday night football game. Last time we saw them on Monday night, they were heading into Detroit and playing against a great defensive line. Here we go again for some Bear fans. The Eagles may have solved their issues. They're certainly favored by 8. What do you think of the Bears going into Philly?
I think the Bears match up with them in this sense. The Bears aren't going to get in a chess match with the Eagles, and that's what they want you to do. If you look at the Cowboy game, the Cowboys try to match formations, try to match personnel, and that's exactly what the Eagles want you to do. The Eagles are really the magician in the race. They want to do a lot of masquerading, but essentially what they are is a nickel team. They run nickel runs. They run nickel passes. They want to spread you out, and what the Bears should be able to do is just play their base stuff, make sure they're in a nickel front, their nickel defenses, and just live with it the whole game. Because if the Eagles beat you with their running game, then you're just not very good. The Eagles can't. When you watch the Cowboy game, it's the darndest thing you've ever seen in your life. The Eagles don't block 5 guys on the Cowboys' defensive line. The Eagles' offensive line, 4 of the 5 linemen probably get minuses on the grading sheet, but they run for 25 yards. So what they try to do is to get you out of position, and then they utilize your being out of position to run the ball. And I think the Bears, if they're disciplined and if they are, stay in their gaps, which they clearly do, I think this is a tough matchup for Philadelphia. They can't let the ball be thrown over their head, and they've got to be able to control the football with their offense, which they should be able to do if they run and secure the edges.
Another premier game, or one of the prime games this weekend, is Baltimore at Pittsburgh, and Terrell Suggs saying it gets everyone's urine above room temperature, just to say it's on the radio so we don't get fined. He talked about going in there and playing in Madison Square Garden. That's his Madison Square Garden. Do you like the idea that some guys get juiced for more for a game over some other games?
I think it's important that they do. I think really you have to find a way to, you have to understand the significance. I mean, when I was in the league, you know, to me, the attention you had to give to teams that were in your division is paramount. I mean, you have to think constantly, if we sign this player, can we win the matchup against these three teams we have to beat twice? And I think that permeates through the organization. So when you play those three teams, if the players don't understand the importance, it's just not another game. It's a big game. And you got to try to find a way to win those games. And if you can sweep two of them, you've really done a great job. So I like that. I like the fact that he understands that going to Pittsburgh's a war. It's Madison Square Garden. And, you know, look, let's face it. I mean, if they don't get through Pittsburgh, they're not going to get through a lot of different places. Just like if the Patriots don't get through New York, or New York doesn't get through New England, or the Bears don't go through Green Bay. You know, those are the things you have to constantly think about when you're building your roster. How do we match up to these three teams we've got to beat twice?
He's Michael Lombardi from the NFL Network. Of course, Showtime's Inside the NFL. You're listening to Mully and Hanley. What did the Eagles, when you look at them, what is it? The dream team, it took a while to take off. What is it that they are? That they are. I mean, are they the team that's
going to
compete?
They're the Lakers. They're the Los Angeles Lakers. They're a fast break team. That's what they want to do. They want you to. They want to play nickel. They want to make big plays. And you know what's funny about this game is down and distance doesn't mean anything. Really, your play call sheet as a defensive coordinator against the Eagles is meaningless. Oh, they're in third and five. They like to do this. No. It's just the next play. You just got to prepare your defense for the next play. There's going to be 65 next plays, and you've got to prepare your team that way because they can strike from anywhere on the field, and they don't mind striking from anywhere on the field. If they're backed up, they could call a screen, which they do often. If they're in the red zone inside the five-yard line, they'll call a screen, which they do often. There's no rhyme or reason to what they do. All they're trying to do is make big plays constantly. They're not trying to set up anything. They're not trying to get 3 yards to get in the third and seven. They're trying to make big plays all the time. So it's a fast break team. If you slow the pace down, you make the defense stay on the field, you run the ball, and you force that defense to have to play 32, 33 minutes, you're going to win the game. But what happened the other night against the Dallas Cowboys, they get up 21-0. The Eagles' defense could take the day off.
You know, again, I think when you talk about the Bears, they rely on turnovers throughout the course of Lovie's tenure here in Chicago. It's almost one of these games where, and I know it's an awful thing to say because the idea is the first guy in holds him up and the second guy in gets the fumble, but you almost have to play the ball rather than the man a little bit with this team because Vic has fumbled the hell out of the ball. I look at Shady McCoy. He's holding the ball away from his body and tucking it in at the last minute. It just seems like there should be opportunities to slap the thing out.
Yeah, I guess you can do that, but you also have to tip balls. Michael Vick's still only 6 feet tall. So if you can get your hands up and he's trying to throw the ball over Julius Peppers or he's trying to throw the ball over any of the defensive linemen, inside particularly. But this is a game where you have to be disciplined in your pass rush. If you watch in this game and you see any defensive lineman pass the quarterback, you're going to be in trouble. The worst place to be in football, the worst place to be is past the quarterback, because I've yet to see in my 25 years watching the NFL the quarterback turn around and run the opposite direction. You can't. It's the worst place to be in football. So you have to rush Michael Vick like it's a field goal. And who cares? And sacks are meaningless in this game. Sacks are meaningless. You rush him, you stay in front of him, and you force him to throw the ball over what we call the wall. Get your hands up. He's 6 feet tall. Don't allow him to have these windows where he can sidearm the ball through and rocket the ball. This frustrates them. Minnesota last year, they played basically one front, one defense. They blitzed a little bit, but it frustrates them. But where he wins with you is when you get in a chess match and you try to out-athlete him or you try to match up to him, and all of a sudden. Let me say this to you even more. The tight end on the Eagles, there's no strength to the formation either because their tight ends can't block anybody. Their tight ends couldn't block me or you or my dog. They can't block, so they don't even care. They're not interested in running behind their tight end because they know they can't block. So there's really not a strength to the formation.
We've had that issue here.
I was going to say, you're talking about the Bears too?
Well, I've watched our man block there, and so that's been a little bit of a problem. More in pass protection, really, for him than it has been in run blocking, but Kellen Davis. But I think the reality of it is that's how you have to approach the Eagles. Bills. They are the unconventional soldier in the NFL. And if you play them conventionally, they kill you. If you play them in your style and you don't get into that game, you're going to beat them.
He's Michael Lombardi. This hour of the Mully and Hanley Show is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. And speaking of quarterbacks, how about quarterbacks of the future? Your colleague Phil Simms seems to be, I don't know, maybe a vocal minority when it comes to Andrew Luck. And I want to ask you what your thoughts are on, but here's what Phil Simms had to say.
I think the hype is a little too much. I feel bad for him in that respect. I do. I mean, what's he going to do to match what they say he can do? The throwing, he manages the game. I see all that. But the one thing I don't see, I just don't see big-time NFL throws. He never takes it and rips it in there. There's not a tremendous amount of power. Not that you need to have that power arm. I'm saying you got to have that exclusively. But, man, it sure helps when you can do that because there's four or five plays a game. It is about arm strength.
What do you see in Andrew Luck?
I don't disagree with what Phil says. I mean, I see a kid who's really become like he's hyped like he's John Elway. He's hyped like he's Troy Aikman, and his arm isn't that. He's a tough, competitive kid. He's more athlete than he is arm. And I think really when you watch it, and especially the other night, what Phil makes the point of, and I think he's so well taken, I mean, he doesn't have Jay Cutler's arm. They're not even close to each other in terms of the arm strength. But what he does is he's going to have a running game. He's smart. He manages the game. Now, in fairness to him, and Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay,
yep. He
looked very similar to Oliver Luck. He went 24th pick overall. There wasn't a lot of hype around Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But he improved his arm. Now, whether Andrew Luck can improve that arm and drive the ball, that remains to be seen. But I think what Phil's saying is, you know, when you get this guy, you're going to get a good player, but don't expect you're going to the Super Bowl next year, and don't expect you're going to be able to make every single throw on the field. Matthew Stafford, you have to defend the width of the field and the length of the field. Jay Cutler, width of the field, length of the field. You know, when you Colt McCoy, you don't have to defend the length of the field at all. He's going to dink and dunk the whole way because he can't drive the ball down the field. And so when you play these quarterbacks, you have to prepare for Eli Manning, the top range of his throws are 45 yards. So you know exactly what you're getting into when you play him. Top throw of Jay Cutler, it's unlimited. So I think that's where the point comes into it. Still a good player, but you have to understand what you're getting. And I think that's what Phil's trying to say is we need to lower these expectations. This guy isn't going to be Superman flying into Perry White's office.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you, Michael, and we'll let you go. But just on the way out, I mean, this reminds me a little bit, saying something like that. I mean, if you have the first pick in the draft, that's the guy you take. And saying something like that reminds me of when Peyton Manning was at Tennessee, and all of a sudden there's this kid from the Northwest that's got this look in his eye, and, you know, maybe you should take this kid over him and all this stuff. I had a scouting director tell me the problem with Peyton Manning is as good as he's going to get. Well, that's what he's basically saying.
Since we started this talking about Bill Walsh, I'll quote Bill Walsh. There's very few people, he used to tell me all the time, that can evaluate the quarterback, and even fewer that could coach him. And I think, really, when you looked at Ryan Leaf, if you just did any background check on Ryan Leaf, and I'm not trying to second-guess Bobby Beathard here at all, you knew he had a couple DUI troubles up there in college. The recruiting trips when he went to Oregon was a disaster. If you just sniffed around, you found those problems off the field out. Andrew Luck doesn't have any of those problems. I think you have to manage your expectations in the NFL. Understand what kind of team you need to build around Andrew Luck and go for it. And I think he can win for you. And I think that's the point.
All right. Thanks so much.
Great. Appreciate it. Take care.